Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
The church is on the move. We are so excited about what's happening and the new people that we're meeting. And so the question becomes, the church is on the move. Have you made yours? God has a plan and a purpose, and I'm excited about that. I hope that today there may well be a moment when the Holy Spirit speaks in such a way that will open up a door, clear a pathway for everyone, whether you're online or in person, to make your move. Speaking of that, my grandson is Beckham, and Beckham moves a lot. He climbs and he runs and he tackles and he wrestles and he's also very articulate. The last time we were together, he was sitting at the kitchen table and he was eating lunch and he said, "Papa, tell me a story while I eat lunch." And I said, "Oh, you don't want to hear my story." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because it's really scary." He said, "No, I want to hear it." And I said, "I don't know." So finally, I said, "Okay, well, just you eating lunch reminds me that of a question I need to ask you." And he said, "Okay." I said, "Have you ever wrestled, killed, and eaten an alligator for lunch?" And he looked at me and said, "Do you really not know the answer to that question?" Very articulate. He was in the house one day, and his sister was outside playing. His dad was on the back stoop, and Beckham was still in his pajamas, and he wanted to come outside suddenly, and my son Nick said, "Beckham, you can come out, but you got to put your clothes on." So he did, and he ran out like this. Now, you may not see it exactly yet, but there's several things that are amiss, including these shoes are on the wrong foot. As he ran past my son, and Nick clicked this picture, here's what he said: "Pants too big, shoes on the wrong feet, shirts on backwards, who cares, I want to go play." He's moved. What moves you? I'm not talking about, you know, the aw kind of thing. I'm talking about a different kind of movement, right? I'm not talking about that moment at the end of the movie when, after we've kind of basked in somebody else's journey, somebody else's story, and there's a touching ending and we shed a tear, then we go to the bathroom and get in our car and go home. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of thing that would cause you to connect, the kind of thing that would cause you to engage, the kind of thing that would cause you to invest, the kind of thing that you would say, "Hey, I'm going to be part of a solution to this." The challenge for us is to stop being moved by someone else's story and move into our own. I love the graphics. The graphics for this series, there were two of them that they gave us, and one of them was this minus the verbiage at the bottom, and the other one was this. That's what I need. I don't need just to feel something. I need to be moved by something that's going to take me someplace new, something that will cause me to cross thresholds I may have been afraid to cross before, to do the things that I've known I needed to do but didn't. What moves you? Well, there are potential movers in our life. Anger is one. Frustration can be a mover. Pride can be a mover. Jealousy, that'll move you if you're not careful. And fear can be a mover. And is fear a positive or a negative mover? Well, it depends on what highway you're standing in the middle of. We can be moved by concern, moved by faith. What was the last thing that moved you? Just take a minute. The last thing that moved you to say, "Something's got to change," and you would connect with others. And connection means you don't get to call all the shots. You're willing to engage. And it would mean engaging. It would mean action, right? And it would also mean investing of your time and your talent. What last moved you? Now, if you don't know what it was that last moved you in such a way, ask someone who knows you well and had to listen to you when you were last moved, and they may be able to tell you. We ask the question today, what moved Jesus? Think about the world that he came into, who he was, and all of the things around him that must have been crazy. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob taking up residence with the humanity that he loved and created and having to deal with all of the stuff around him that must have been so incredibly frustrating. We know he was moved once by anger, but we find something else over and over and over again in Scripture that moved Jesus. And there are lots of descriptions, several stories I could tell, but probably the most plain and clear one is in Mark chapter 1. Jesus was traveling around, and he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. We'll talk about that in a moment. That is a major violation of all kinds of things. We've had social distancing laws, right? Well, leprosy, you didn't violate that, and what he did was clearly a violation of law. Some would say he even put his life at risk by doing this. He begged to be healed. If you are willing, he said, you can heal me and make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Another violation of the law, of every thought about how to handle and how to deal with someone who had leprosy. You would never, ever touch them. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people everywhere kept coming to him. Christ's reputation for compassion preceded him everywhere he went. Whatever they may have thought of him, whatever criticisms people may have had, however crazy they may have thought he might be, this was someone who had compassion. Think about the Bible stories over and over and over again. Compassion is always part of what Jesus does. It went ahead of him. What would happen as followers of Christ if when our reputation preceded us, it included this unexplainable compassion, the kind of compassion that moves people? Christ's compassion tempers justice. You don't think of justice, or I didn't, when you read this story, but you have to understand the violation of the law. And part of the reason, there are some theologians that believe that word compassion also has an anger component to it. This man clearly broke the law. And here's the thing. There are times when Brian, speak for myself, not you, feels compassion and wants to do something for somebody, but I want him to get their act together first. But I want him to do it the right way. But I want them to kind of clean themselves up first, because I don't want to be an enabler. Christ went right past law and brought compassion to the moment. Leprosy, such a deadly disease, and there are vaccines for it now, but in the day, leprosy was a slow 15 to 20 year death. Start with a few spots, so you could hide it for a while. You could pretend it wasn't there, but eventually all of the joints would be impacted and the body would literally rot. And this man was exposing others. This man, the law was clear. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there's no provision for care of the leper. There isn't. There's care for those who are immigrants, and care for the poor, and care for others. But there's not even a remedy for that. That's how incredibly potent this moment is when Jesus steps in. I am so glad that Jesus judges me with compassion, that there's grace and truth. Romans chapter 9 says, God said to Moses, I'll show mercy to anyone I choose. Now, we often have a tendency to want someone to earn it, even though we didn't. And I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. Compassion of Christ. Christ's compassion calls to action. Again, if you think compassion is shedding a tear or even posting something or maybe wearing a t-shirt that's going to tick people off if they see it because you're engaged, that's not the kind of compassion Christ showed. It called him to action. He came. John says he took up residence on our block. He walked into everything that was happening. Pastor Bob in his background notes, and I always recommend these, but particularly this week, he quotes the writings of a man named Zila who talks about the compassion that requires habitation. So it's not just a feeling, it's something I got to move into. And he looks at the life of Christ and sees three things to that habitation. He doesn't look past. I have to ask myself sometimes, how do I see people? It's a compassion that companions. He touches him. He engages him. He doesn't think, maybe someday, but he moves into it. And the compassion of Christ is a sighing compassion. You know what? Because every problem doesn't get solved. It's a sighing compassion, even as Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept over the city, because in spite of the fact of all that he had done and was going to do, there were folks who were not going to get it. That's a habitation of compassion. It engages us. Now, and I give you this today because, folks, this is how we change the world. This is how we change the world. This is how Jesus changed the world. And this is how we change the world. Christ's compassion was not without order. He didn't do away with the law. We live in such an individualistic culture that often we just want to do our own thing. And Jesus directs this man back into obedience to the law. He says, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go and show yourself to the priest. We're not talking about a compassion that doesn't have order to it, that doesn't have a call to it, that doesn't help people to step up. We're not talking about a compassion that just makes us feel better, but doesn't actually do something for both the individual and the movement. Make your move. I mean, we're at such a critically important time, both as a local church and as part of the body of Christ. If you really want to see change, I would ask that we would pause for a few moments and consider the power of compassion. As a matter of fact, I have come to the conclusion that compassion should be a spiritual discipline. Not just something we feel, not just something that we engage in occasionally, but something that becomes part of who we are, something we work at. Compassion. Choosing compassion. Deciding that we're going to look at people differently, seeing. Deciding that somewhere, someplace in our life, maybe a neighbor, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, we're going to reach out and touch someone that no one else would touch. That we're going to companion. And we're going to do it knowing that we might wind up sighing. Because there's no guarantee that things are going to work out. There's no guarantee that people are going to react in the way that would be helpful to them. It's an act of compassion. I would challenge you, even in the words that we speak. If you have a tendency to make cynical or judgmental comments or or negative comments, ask someone that knows you to stop you the next time you do. I mean, is this a spiritual discipline we want to pursue? Then we need to get serious about it. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, let me help you. Remembering the compassion we've been shown will enable us to show compassion a little bit more freely. From Titus, once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. There is one reason that we are here today. As you follow Christ, as you have the hope of heaven, there is one reason, and that's because of the mercy of God. I don't care how young, I don't care about all the stuff that you never did. The reality is there's not one of us that is here on our own merit. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous. That's just sloppy on the part of God, don't you think? He's just going to declare us righteous because of the incredible power of what he did for us. And it makes us righteous through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. And he did that knowing that we might walk right down the street and choose differently. We need to move compassion from something that we feel to a company policy. What if that's just a household policy? We're going to start with compassion. And there's times when there's other things that need to come up, but let's just start with a default with regard to our attitudes. Let's default to the fact that we don't know everything that's going on, that we don't fully understand the story of other individuals. Let's default to the fact that somebody is telling the truth. We don't agree with it. We don't understand. What if we changed our defaults and made compassion a company policy? Probably one of my favorite stories over the years to tell about the impact of someone never getting over the compassion of God in their life and forever being indebted is a story of this guy. He was born in 1890, and in the First World War, he was a war hero. Now, most of the people who saw him didn't know anything about that. They just knew that for about 25 years, there was a man on Friday night, an older man, who would pull up to the pier, get out of his car, get a bucket out of the back seat, and walk the pier to the end. And as the sun was going down, the old man would stand there, and fishermen who were there constantly would tell the story that if you were close enough to him, you could hear him talking to the seagulls. They just began to gather when he walked out there, because they knew what was coming. Just a crazy old man who talked to seagulls and then eventually would reach in the bucket and begin to throw shrimp into the air. Every Friday night he was home for 25 years. What they didn't know, that his name was Eddie. He had born in 1890. He had been a flying ace in World War I. And when World War II came along, at the age of 57, the president asked him to oversee some of what was happening in 1948 in Europe and to deliver a message to Douglas MacArthur. Now, that story just took a strange turn, didn't it? And so Eddie Rickenbacker was on a plane over the Pacific when there was a navigational problem and the plane went down. There were 8 survivors who crammed onto a life raft with virtually no supplies. By the 8th day, it was almost over, he said. He was the senior leader among the group, and he said, we had a time of prayer on that afternoon, and then we just kind of, I pulled my hat down over my head, and we waited, frankly, we waited to just drift off to sleep and die. When suddenly, at almost dark, something landed on top of his hat. He said, at first I thought I was dreaming, and then I realized there was something on my hat, and I needed to grab it, and so he did. And he grabbed a seagull and killed it. And each person got a little bit of food. And they used the rest of the seagull for bait. And they began to fish. And they, with the remains of the seagull, they caught fish, which they ate, and used the rest of the fish for bait. They survived 24 more days before they were rescued. And so Eddie Rickenbacker never got over the gift of the seagull. So every Friday night for 25 years, he would go down that pier, and he would walk out on that pier, and the seagulls would gather, and he would pick up those shrimp, and he would throw them into the air and say over and over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What if we changed the paradigm of how we approach people? What if we begin to think, and it'll take discipline. Oh, it takes discipline for me because I have attitudes and I have opinions. But when I'm redirected to what Jesus has done for me, and I'm redirected to the incredible power of mercy and compassion that Jesus showed, what if this discipline of compassion is what's keeping you from discovering your destiny in God? I guarantee you that if we don't have a spirit of discipline, it impacts every part of our life. It will impact work. It will impact home. It will impact relationships. What if this is the key to the family relationships that you've been praying about and are concerned about? Oh, that God would help us to make a move as he moves in us on compassion. The band is going to come back out. I'm going to give you a few moments to think. And I'd like you to think as they play about what's moving you right now. I'd like you to think about who you might reach out and you might see, reach out and touch, and be willing to sigh with to make a difference. The Lord will probably, if he hasn't already, give you a name or a face or someone. And I would challenge you, if that happens, if that comes, someone you just need to be compassionate toward, take out your phone before the song's over, send them a text. Hey, can we talk later? Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I was just thinking about you. And then follow up when the service is over. Father God, speak, for your servants are listening.
Thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content, and always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.